The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's going on, guys? It's Taylor the Killer Bee. We are here with the Banana and the Bee podcast. We have my bestie, Dave Van Auken, and we have the one and only Alan the Talent Belcher. How are you today?
The talent right there, my man. Hey, B, what's good, brother?
What's up? I like it. I like how you use my nickname. That made me feel good.
I'm sweating, and I'm going to tell you why. And I've got like my first question and kick it right off. So when I met you, I've met you in Florida when I fought Hannah Guy. And I have to say, when I first saw you, I was so intimidated by you. And I was like, this guy has no emotions. He is unimpressed, unamused, and like mysterious. I didn't know what was going on.
Damn. So
like, are you always like that? Because you seem pretty happy right now.
Was I intimidating?
Very intimidating.
I don't know. I think I was just... I think so. Yeah. You know, when you get around that type of vibe or whatever, you just kind of, I was kind of matching everyone else's vibe.
Yeah. I remember like the first thing I told Dave, I was like, I saw Alan Belcher and he was very scary.
Oh, Lord. That's all right. Yeah. I mean, you got to be scary, right?
I like that. Sometimes. All right. So before we get into Jackson, co-main event, Bobo, heavyweight division, a lot of stuff. Uh-huh. Of course, we got Taylor on, and there's just a huge connection here. So when you got a phone call, a text, you know, from a manager or from Hannah herself and said, hey, 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever it was in that range, 10-day notice, 12 days notice, we could fight Taylor Starlin.
Yeah.
Big co-main event, bare knuckle see Tampa. What was your first reaction, thought? And then after that, like, kind of what was the game plan? Or what were you like, hey, we can maybe do this. We can maybe find some openings this way.
Oh, okay. So Dean Tool, first off.
Okay.
I don't know if we were on like if we were talking or he just texted me or what, but he was like, "Hey, would Hannah do bare knuckle?" And I was like, "She probably would, actually." I know her. I don't think she should, but she probably would. And then we started talking about it and it was just really our conversation that turned into like, you know, this is like a life experience type of thing. Like, fuck, she's a grappler, you know, she did jiu-jitsu this weekend and like competed. And she's a grappler and she's not, you know, in her mind, she wasn't a striker. She's like, I'm just a grappler. I'm not good at boxing. And I was like, if you do this, you'll level up, like, because you'll train for it. And then you'll do some of the things that you did just in the match. Your confidence will build and everything. So that's really what it was about. So she's just a badass.
She is.
She really is. So the way Dean put it, he was like, "Hey, Hannah should fight this. It is probably, she'll get paid, and she'll fight their poster girl, Taylor Starling." that's what Dean Tool said. That's how he described it. Right. Oh, and so I looked into it or whatever. I was like, okay, cool. Good opportunity. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was fun. That was probably my top coaching experience ever. Yeah.
It was, sure. Man. I thought it was like, in a long way, it was an underrated fight. But to me, just, it was the moment. Like, Al, you were there. Like, no one else cared. Like, the first 7-8 fights of the card came and went, and then Hannah and Taylor came on, the whole show was stolen. Like, even the main event, like, I'm not trying to be like that. I hope this doesn't come off disrespectful. People left after their fight. Like,
no, you're right.
Like, I'm not, it was the Taylor Starlin and Hannah Guy show, and like, you know, I don't know how much you listened to for the last month since that. We've been so pro Hannah. Like, I know Hannah going into it, just in the same circles and all that stuff. Man, like, what a G Hannah Guy is. Like, oh my goodness.
I remember, like, Dean calling me or sending me a text in the middle of the night. He sends me Hannah's Tapology and he says, "This is who you're fighting." And I looked at my phone and I was just like, "Oh, fuck." Like, I was like, "Fuck." And then I was like, That bitch is tough. And I called Dean. Yeah. I'm like, this chick's fucking tough. And I was like, but I'll do it. Like, I'm game. Because I watched her fight Valerie. And, like, I've seen her ever since. And then I was just like, this is going to be a good fucking fight. And so many people were downplaying her. And I, like, knew. I was like, oh, hell no. Like, this girl's coming to fight. And I remember she fucking hit me. And I was like, all right. Like, we got to make it a war now.
And in bare knuckle, it's scary to fight people that aren't as good as you technically and skillfully. Like, right. I feel like, you know, in a good way, point. Not to be bragging, but I feel like my skill level, especially for heavyweight division, is beyond anyone that's in bare knuckle. It's just what I'm known for striking and stuff, you know, and I've been doing this my whole life. And everyone in there can, it would land punches on me. You know, it's like so hard not to get hit. So, yeah, it's wild.
Someone said something today. I had posted a video of mine and Hannah's fight, and someone was like, maybe if you fucking ducked your head more, your ear wouldn't be bleeding. And I'm like, it's a bare knuckle fucking fight. Like, what am I going to come out unscathed? Like, whatever. Right. But yeah.
Yeah. Talking about bare knuckle. 2 weeks away, I think we're the January 29th, Jackson, Mississippi. The same kind of thing. I would love your first. I think you and I texted us like almost kind of before the news came out, Alan. When did you know about it? When did you know your opponent was going to be Bobo Bannon? I have a kind of second question about Bobo. But when, you know, how, what was it really important for you to be on this card in Jackson?
Yes, because I want to fight more often. Number one, any fucking bare knuckle card, I would have fought on the one that you guys fought on. But, you know, so whichever the next one is where I want to fight.
Okay.
But you guys mind if I grab my charger real quick?
So no, do it.
Go ahead.
Yeah. We'll do it. So, yeah, we're just about to talk with Alan about Bobo O'Bannon, Jackson, Mississippi. Real quick, I'm going to rewind. How good was it with Caleb Harris, who's good, the main event of that card with Elvin Brito? That was a good one 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that was. And then it's crazy because Elvin wants to come on, and I'm like,
yeah,
I can't wait to hear the other side. It's so weird to be the person that's, like, neutral and be like.
I know. It's tough. And you know, like, I felt like Caleb almost, to be honest, like, won us over. Like, you know, I was kind of in the neutral, and then all of a sudden listen to Caleb for 45 minutes. I'm like, oh. The guy's a stud, you know.
That speech he gave at the end, I was like,
"Yeah." Are you good, Al?
I'm back. All right. I think so. Can you hear me? So,
yep. So when did you hear about Bobo? And like you said, what it was, just it didn't matter what the name was. You were signing them that dotted line.
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I was making sure I was charging. Well, you know, that would suck if it just, like, cut off, you know? And the whole party's over. So now we're good. I'm good to go. All so
right. 3 hours, Alan Belcher starts
we're
now.
Good. Exactly. We're just getting started, dude. All right, Bobo. No, we're good. Yeah. I mean, that would have been good a couple minutes ago. Reed is helping me.
He's just a stud.
Slowly, very slowly. Reed is a beast. He really is. Hell yeah.
I know.
Shout out to Reed Cook. Shout out to Reed Cook. All right. So Bobo taking the fight. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would have fought anybody for sure. Probably would prefer not to fight Bobo out of everyone on the roster, just because, you know, I sparred with him before and, you know, we're kind of close, you know, by whatever. And he's just a big old, like, sweet teddy bear, like, dude. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But really, I just want to fight. So I'm like, I gotta take it. Let's go. Let's do it.
You right, because he's the Bible Belt brawler. He's
yeah,
the Bible Belt brawler. You're sinning.
Yeah, you don't. Oh man,
that's all right. It's almost a hard spot, Alan. Like, just because of from. You have such a rich history in MMA, UFC, the talent, and just all your name and, you know, a long 15 years of hard work to get your name where it's at. And you're fighting a guy named Bobo, who, like, in the bare knuckle, and everyone knows how talented he is, especially the heavyweight division. But from afar, like, an outsider will come in, and if it something crazy bad yeah. happens, you're like, God dang, like, wait, yeah. Alan Belcher just lost to a guy named Bobo? You know what I mean? Absolutely. Like, it's a little bit low reward in a way, high risk.
Right. Yeah, it is. Well, dude, I'm following a plan right now. So, okay. Like, I don't fucking care what anyone thinks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a shit. I give zero fucks about what any troll says. And some of them have legitimate comments. They're like, the boxing matches I had, like, dude, you're fighting fat people out of shape. Da, da, da. I'm like, that's kind of rude to say about that person, but yeah, you're right. Those were kind of easy fights for me, but I don't fucking care. You know, look, and I don't care about what people say about this tomorrow, because in a year or 2 years from now, none of this will matter, right? And I'll either be where I want to be or I won't be.
So, I like that.
I think you're going to plow through Bobo.
Yes, I think I am. And really, realistically, here's the thing. Bobo is one of the best guys in the division. He keeps yep. his hands up. He throws straight, hard fucking punches. He can knock someone out. He's tough. When he gets knocked down, he gets back up. And it's really a step up for me. So,
yeah, good. It really is a that's good cool. fight. Like,
yeah.
Like Dave's saying, like a lot of low, what do you say, low, high risk, low reward. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Like, I don't uh-huh. see it that way, just being like in the game, like someone as a fan would think that, but me being
right,
like,
an outsider
being there and knowing yeah. who Bobo is and where he's at and everything like that, to me, I'm like, oh, that's well, a great matchup.
Yeah,
I think it's awesome. Well,
yeah, it is. It's cool. Well, Dave thinks I'm better than you think I am, so that's where that comes. That's why you think of that differently. Don't
I think
worry,
you're all right.
But it's cool. It's all right. It's cool. It's all right. So. Yeah, the risk and reward. Let's talk about that for a second. Because you at this what I'm doing right now is taking away all the risk by being very technical and putting everything into training and being like the best person when it goes in there and when I go in there, not making any mistakes, basically.
Right.
So the reward, you know, I think taking those big fights, because I could take those big fights. Like I could get a UFC or a PFL contract or something like that. But to me, those are just like end of the road, kind of like, you know, that's the end of career type of stuff. Like for me, I'm looking at like the next 3 to 5 years. I'm not coming in like some people are, and you know, I'm not that damn old. You know, people are like, you know, at the end of their career, they're coming in out of shape and then they get paid $100,000 or something. And then they're like, they don't look that good, you know?
Yeah.
Like I'm like coming back. I'm like getting my career started again. I'm going to put in another what, 5 years, you know, 3 to 5 years and do more than I ever did before. Like I'm on a very, very, very fast pace. You know, I've been fighting what, like, I got 3 fights in the last 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
Something like that. This is about to be the 4th fight, you know? And then after this fight, I'm going to probably go to like twice a month fighting.
That's so sick. Like,
but, yeah.
That's crazy. Like,
that's just the mentality that I am right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
why do you think people, fighters don't do that more often? It just seems like you're have this mindset of like, hey, let me jump in every 14, 21 days, mm-hmm. you know, especially those big guys in the UFC, you know, they fight once a year yeah. now, twice a year max, those big names.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. I don't know the logical explanation for that, honestly. I'd have to think about it a little bit, but I'm sure there's something there. for me, it's more about like belief and stuff. And whenever you get like remove all the bullshit and you're completely honest with yourself, 100% true, then you will do things differently. You'll think about it as a business or like a manager, or like strategically, because you have no choice. I have no choice but to go where I want to go. Like, I'm going to fucking win every fight from now on. And from here on out, I'm knocking everyone out and I'm going to make that happen. So if I'm going to be honest with myself, I can't, you know, say that I'm going to do it and then fucking eat some ice cream. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I'm like,
although I eat ice cream every once in a while, but I'm saying if it's not time to eat the ice cream, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm not going to justify it and cheat because I'm going that. And that's like a stupid little example, but, you know, that's why to me, I know I'm going to get there.
You're making me rethink my decisions as an athlete now, because like after this, I was hanging up and going to get my damn cookie butter ice cream out of the fridge. No, but I did see, like, I know that you've been training hard. I watch all your stuff all the time. And one of the things I've kind of talked to you about a little bit was your brain training. So tell us about that, because I'm interested to hear about it. And like, who governs that, I guess it would be like, is it like a brain trainer?
No. I really, you know how I operate now is like, and I kind of did this in the first part of my career too, a little bit, but I'm just way better at it now. It's like, I'm kind of like the CEO and the main coach, like in a way, like, I have different consultants and everything, but I don't, you know, Duke Rufus was kind of the last person that I put, you know, I trusted him for whatever. And he even knew what areas to be like, okay, the wrestling, jiu-jitsu, whatever. But as far as any big strategic moves or whatever, what to do, what to say, I put everything into him, you know, like that's my mentor. But, you know, since then I've been kind of mastering this, you know, how to live this lifestyle and do this thing correctly. And sometimes I think, you know, when you get invested in with a coach, sometimes those relationships get messed up or whatever. And it has to be right. So you're the only person you can really ever count on. So I'm the one that has to coach myself in there. So that's why, you know, if you're both the coach and the athlete, you can, you know, you have more control. You just gotta be badass at it. Yeah. Right? And you gotta be honest. You gotta be honest too.
Right.
But yeah, so yeah, a lot of this stuff, I have a lot of consultants and like, you know, and close friends too. Like it's really important to me to have my people that are like my brothers there with me. It's more of like my, you know, just like how I feel about it instead of the actual what's in the brain. Cause what's in the brain, it's already there. You know what I mean? The information, I don't need someone, you know, we don't need to learn anything right before the fight type of thing. Right.
Right.
So it's just about the vibe. So brain training is I really haven't worked with anybody now. I want to work with Andrew Huberman, and the dude is super smart, you know, and he's like, especially like with anything with the nutrition part of the brain and biohacking and all that. But for right now, I just kind of researched myself, and I saw Lomachenko doing this. I heard like Sugar Ray Robinson, you know, later, and he had like a similar injury, had the same injury that I did with my eye, and really is where this came from. And I was actually the peak for me right before I injured my eye was 2010, and I was training to fight Damian Maia, and I took my whole family to Brazil, and my wife at the time and my daughter was like 6 months old, something like that. Wow. And we went to Brazil, and that's where my eye injury happened. But like there, like I was really, really, really like on top of my game. And I was way ahead of people with like some of this brain training and reactions and even just like, you know, footwork, ladder drill type of stuff. That was a lot of people wasn't doing that type of stuff. You know, the strength and conditioning, the real dynamic athlete training. And I even had like a, what do you call it? Like an altitude type of simulator that I took with me down there. Which she might have had something to do with what was going on with my eye too, because like a lot of the issues happened on the flight, you know. So that's when I really started having the floaters and stuff, because that flight to Brazil is like so long and so much pressure, so it can pop your retina off. So it caused a tear, and then, you know, so then I had the retina surgeries and all that type of stuff. But
And now, real quick, yeah. What happened? Was it just in training? It's so fun. I've never heard this story. I you know, okay. I know so much about you. I followed your career, UFC. We talk in the same circles. How did you get injured? Like, how did you get hurt?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's basically all there is to that story. Is I think that you know, either getting hit in training, something that I didn't notice, or that flight, or a combination, or whatever. Cause the tear, and then once you have a tear, if you let it go too long, the fluid gets behind it, and it falls off or whatever, and it's like a curtain, like literally the curtain, like when it comes off, it's like wham, and it's like there's a black line and you cannot see anything past it, and then it fell some more, you know. So like by the time I got back home to do the surgery, I was almost completely black in one eye, like when I closed it. It was just had like a little bit of corner of what I could see. It was crazy. So, but it wasn't any type of trauma. I woke up in the morning, actually. I was seeing floaters and blinking, seeing flashes and things like that for about a week before that. I woke up in the morning and I came up and I'm like rubbing my eyes, like, what the fuck? I can't see very good. Then I go to the bathroom and I'm starting to wash my eyes. And then it just kind of hit me that, like, you're not going to wash this out. Like, there's something wrong with your vision. Like, it's fucked up. It was pretty emotional. And I thought I was blind. It sucked.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, so best thing we could do is, like, go back home right away and do surgery and all that. But, yeah. That's the story, dude. And then that kept me out the UFC for like probably a year, year and a half, something like that. And that was rough. That was low times in my life. And because I was at that time, I was pretty much like I was really in my head about not fighting anymore, you know. And yeah, it was just a really, really, really weird. Really weird time. I couldn't figure out if I didn't really want to fight anymore and I was burned out on it, or if it was really the eye thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So either way, you know, I stayed away from fighting for a little bit, and then I went back and I was like, all right, hell yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to go, you know, go full force. And then I had a couple wins. And then my last two losses were like fucking weight cut. Weight cut was like killed me and crushed me. And at that point, I feel like I was pretty burned out anyways. So I was like, you know, a year turned into 2 years and three. And I was like, oh, I'm going to come back. But just never really, really had the desire for a little bit.
So
until one day it came.
Yeah, out. I was going to say, so what was like what brought you to bare knuckle?
The same time I really started getting my shit together and getting focused on my health and being an athlete and things, it was Feldman. It talked to me for 2 years, trying to get me, because from the first time he came to Biloxi, you know, and then so from the first time to, you know, recently when I started or whatever, just because I would probably be, he knew I'd be a local draw and maybe a little bit pay-per-view draw too, you know? So, I looked at it and it really, MMA seemed, you know, I tried to look at it realistically and MMA seemed further away for me to get good at and get myself in shape for. And anything like boxing or bare knuckle was more, you know, kind of like a stepping stone type of deal. And that's one thing I'm using this for. I do want to do MMA again. But man, I've always been, here's my story about, I'll give you guys my story about boxing.
Yeah.
So like, I started boxing when I was like, or learning boxing when I was like 14, 15, something like that. And And around that time, I had a couple boxing and kickboxing matches. And then I left when I quit school at Dyersburg State. I went to Memphis. I trained with Jeff Mullen. And there we did boxing a lot. We had like this little amateur thing where we did it at the firehouse like every month. And we practiced a lot. So I really loved boxing. And I kind of had in my head like, you know, before I wanted to go in UFC, I wanted to do boxing and kickboxing. Like that was just the people I was around and everything, right?
Right.
And at the same time I got in UFC, Roy Jones Jr. was making one of his comebacks, and I was in the UFC, so I was like a local draw or whatever. So he asked me to co-main event that, and that was back, dude. I don't even know what year that was, but I was like 22. And I was like, man, I got in the UFC. Now I'm going to be a pro boxer, like on the Roy Jones Jr. card. And then the UFC totally shut that down. And so many big opportunities throughout the years, because I was always looking to get in, you know, grappling matches and kickboxing and all kinds of stuff. And like, I kept trying and they never let me do anything. So
you were too soon. Like now yeah. They would let you, like what Connor did four or five years ago. If Belcher did that, you know what I mean, in 2022, yeah. They would probably let you now. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man.
Wow.
But, yeah, dude, that's why it all comes full circle. And now I'm like, hell yeah, dude, I like boxing. I can see winning the bare knuckle belt and going after different boxing belts too.
That's awesome.
So what would you say, like, bare knuckle? Because I know you probably, like, when you're getting ready, you hear all kinds of things like, oh, it's going to be like this, or it's going to be like that, or this is what you should expect. Like, what would you say was the worst thing out of it? Like that okay. You're like, oh, that sucked. And then, cause I mean, let's be real. It's not that fucking fun getting hit with bare knuckles. But what was the worst thing? And like, what was the thing that you didn't expect that you were like, wow, like I really like this about bare knuckles?
All right. Let me see. Well, the worst, the worst thing was, man, what was the worst thing? I'll give you a couple things that I did that I'm trying to fix that I didn't really like about it. Not that I'm, I don't know. One thing you can't fix that I didn't like about it is that, like we said earlier, even if someone's not as skilled as you, it's almost impossible not to brawl. And mm-hmm. So then you get hit, and then your face looks bad because the knuckles are small and they're either going to cut or it's going to cause swelling, you know, because it's causing so much trauma to just like one little spot. So boom, lots of inflammation and everything. So my face looked like shit after my first fight, and I barely got touched. I was like, I do not even remember this man touching me.
Right.
Like I fought a real, I mean, I felt very, very safe. I mean, you look at my first fight, I don't care. I mean, I tried to knock him out a couple times, but honestly, I was like, I was trying not to get hit. I was like, this is my first fight back in 8 years. So I was like, you know, to the side, whatever. And I was like, hell yeah, I'll take a decision. You know, I'll knock the next guy out. yeah, man, I didn't get hit that much. And then I got those big ass cuts, bigger, two huge cuts that I never got from MMA. And the other thing is kind of like, man, it's just really hard to catch their timing, really hard to catch the timing and the rhythm of the person, you know. And I'm very technical, so like my range and everything is really important, you know. So but it's mentally challenging too, because you know, having to solve problems whenever it's not an ideal situation for you, and when you don't have momentum going for you, you don't have all this energy and like, hell yeah, I'm beating the fuck out of this person. You know, what are you going to do when your back's against the wall and, you know, and then you have to solve the problem. So I like that about it in a way. And I think that I'm learning some things about it right now, trying to research.
One of my favorite things that I tell people about fighting Hannah was like, I sat and I really tried to break down everything about Hannah that I could possibly, like all the problems that she was going to give me. I was like, man, mm-hmm. This girl's going to clinch me. She's strong, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I remember in that fight with Hannah, like everything was amplified. Like, I was like, man, it's going to be so much worse. Like, it is worse than I thought. Like, I knew it was coming, but I didn't think it was going to be to this degree. Like, I didn't think she was going to be as strong or, like, hit me as hard. But I remember, like you just said, while we were fighting, I remember thinking in my head, like, okay, she's giving me a problem, and I have to solve it right now. And, like, yes. I always tell people, like, how did you win that fight? And I was like, I had an answer to every problem that Hannah was giving me. And that's what secured that win for me. So it is like that. And I also tell people all the time with bare knuckle, you have to have that mentality. Like you just said, the mental game of, like, you can be eating some fucking punches and you have to be so strong willed mentally and be like, I'm not going to give up. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to answer the problem, but I'm not going to, like, let this deter me. Like, I'm going to eat these knuckles and we're going to keep moving.
All right.
So I totally agree.
Yeah, that's what you're a champ. That's why you think like that.
She hell is, yeah. Yep, definitely a champ. We got multiple fan questions. We have put that thing on social media. We'll definitely go in there in a second. I got two more good ones, I think, for you. First, we got to touch on this for sure. And I know you're going to give me the fighter thing. And every quarterback after they win the playoff game, that, you know, the 49ers quarterback's going to say, hey, we win today. What's going to be tomorrow? Like, they never look too far ahead. That's what everyone says. But okay. If I could say, you know, Alan, there's probably, and me and Taylor talked about a couple times in the show, there's a good rumor. In a couple weeks at Knucklemania, we will possibly see Arnold Adams and Dylan Kleckler, 3-0, bare knuckle, and they might meet up. Joey Beltran just took an L. Schumacher and Burns, they're in another organization. I remember you and I, when we talked about this on the show 5 months ago, there was like so many guys. And now there's like not. It seems like you have a nice path to the bare knuckle FC heavyweight championship fight. To me, one win over Bobo, you're right there. Like, am I off beat on this? Like, to me, it's pretty simple.
I think so. Okay. I mean, I don't see why not. I'm not looking past them, but yeah,
right.
I mean, it's
right.
There's not a lot of guys in the division. And like last time we talked, like, you tell me who can beat me. I don't know. But I really do. I feel like I have raised my standards since then, since the first fight.
Wow.
Literally, I've raised my standards of what I want to be. And it's really kind of humbled me and put me back in and as a beginner. And now my progress is it's crazy how that works, too, because I kind of plateaued. And I was like, damn, I've never trained twice a day for this long. Holy shit. Like, almost this entire last year, almost the whole year. I started in like the end of February, like going twice a day, every day. And then, yeah, it's wild, dude. And then my progress, I was like, how am I gonna keep progressing? That's why I got into this brain shit. You know, right. Got into that and like all looking for all kinds of different weird methods to keep progressing. You know, but then somehow I kind of reset it back. And now I'm like, I think I'm going to get a lot better, a lot better.
That's dangerous. That's dangerous. Great question. Taylor nailed it last week. So last week we had Brian Battle, who won the Ultimate Fighter this past season in the UFC in the middleweight division. And, you know, I think bare knuckle does a lot of the things that UFC does. I think with the things that they do well, they kind of try to take and use. And I think that's smart business sense. Mm-hmm. If bare knuckle ever created the Ultimate Fighter, a type A show like the Ultimate Fighter, and David Feldman goes, hey, Alan, man, you're a star, you're a stud. You can talk, communicate, you can coach. We would want you to coach on one side. If you had to pick who was going to coach against you underneath this bare knuckle FC world, who would you pick?
Oh, damn. And it's somebody that's already kind of is already in there.
Someone who's in there or could be. Like, you can't be, you know, you can't pick Stipe Miocic. You know, he's kind of tied down in the UFC. But,
yeah.
You know, maybe like, you know.
Someone could be in there.
Yeah,
man. Someone. There's just so many. I don't know. There's so many of those people. I mean, you know, the coolest, like, I think person that's going to be around, it's really a staple, is going to be around for a long time in bare knuckle, is Joey Beltran.
Okay.
So the other guys could come and go. I don't know, but like personality wise, and he's gonna be a star. He's not as big as he should be right now, I don't think. He's cool. And I would coach against him. Although that's probably the last person I want to fight in this whole thing. when I looked at bare knuckle, I'll be honest, dude. Yeah, Beltran is he's tough and he comes at you like nonstop.
Yeah.
And makes it into a brawl and you're hitting him and he's not going down and he's just putting his hands on you a lot, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I first looked at bare knuckle, I was like, okay, Beltran's the champ. I think I know how to beat him. Like it's gonna be ugly, but let me just take my time and then boom, get to him and I'll do it. Now that he's not the champ anymore, I'm like, let's just skip by that guy. I can beat him. I feel like I could beat him maybe.
Yeah,
but it's good. You ain't coming out of that one, you know, looking pretty.
I would watch that show. That'd be a good show.
That'd be a good show.
The
baddest bare knuckle fight or something like that. You know, they can name something.
For sure. Oh man, I've really got into that whole thing about like, you know, bare knuckle being the ultimate thing. Because after fighting, I look at it a lot differently.
Right. Like,
that is a hell of a challenge. You know, you gotta be sharp, your mind, you know. Yeah.
It's wild. Good stuff. Dave, now you need to take a bare knuckle fight. What?
No, he didn't want to mess up his face. Come on.
He needs the hair.
The thing I liked about the fight that you asked earlier.
Okay.
And I didn't get to finish. But what I liked about bare knuckle was that, like, at all my MMA fights, any that I got hit, even rabbit punches, I had a bad, like, concussion symptoms, you know,
A
headache. You know, like a headache. And like my bare knuckle fight, my face was kind of swollen, had those big ass cuts, no headache at all. You know? So
how about you for
Tate? I like that.
Yeah, I have only ever been injured with gloves on. I've had my nose broken, I've had concussions only with gloves on. And bare knuckle, like the worst thing I've ever gotten is my eye split open and my ear split open. I thought Hannah was trying to like Mike Tyson me, and I seen it. I was like, "What the fuck?" But it was just a cut.
Man,
we love us some.
You guys, you both seemed like you threw elbows at times. I'm just gonna throw that out there. Did you see that? Did anyone else see that?
It
looked like they both threw elbows.
They were like. Cause like I felt like some of them were missing out, like they're like, especially Hannah was so good in the clinch, like so good. She's doing this and she's like coming through. So if Taylor kind of moves her head the opposite way, like that's the natural progression. That's coming next.
Yeah.
Listen, Hannah was trying to take my fucking head off, and I would see her just like she's like coming. I was like, oh, but hell no, I can't under that shit. I was like, no,
that's cool.
I was like, she's trying to knock me out.
Very cool. Yeah. All right, let's run through some of these fan questions. There's always more, but we try to get a nice 5-6 good ones. So we got some good ones here. Some of these are nice. First one, Alan says, do you remember training at Miletich Gym back in 07 in Bedford, Iowa? This person says, I met you briefly. You were very nice to me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool, man. I mean, I do remember. I definitely remember. I don't remember him because I can't see his face.
Were there 07 in Milton? That had to be Savage City.
Oh, yeah. It really was, man. And you know what was really cool? The coolest thing about that whole experience is and I went there with Duke because it was really – one thing about working with Duke Rufus, when I first started working with him, was like I was like the first guy. You know what I mean? And I was like, hell yeah, we're going to do this thing. You're going to get in the fucking MMA community, right? And like, because this is, you know, I saw that in him as a coach, and he saw me like that as a student, you know? So when we started working together, he took me around to different gyms and things, right? And he had a good relationship with those guys there. So we went and Pat Miletich. It was a room of, I would probably say 80 to 100 guys. And it was unlike probably anything that's happening right now. It was probably 80 to 100 guys. And, you know, probably 20 of them, you would know their names at least, you know, and
walking in that door, putting your backpack over your shoulder. It's just like monster.
Yeah. I was young and cocky. And Miletich was, you know, he made an example out of me, or he made a relationship with me. I'll tell you that. Like, he, you know what I'm saying? Like, he,
yeah.
I earned his respect, and we built like a relationship like that. And because he picked me out on everything, you know what I'm saying? He made like and he was leading like exercises and all kinds of stuff. And he, you know, he put me with like the small guy. He's like, this small guy can beat you. It's so easy. Like, hey, what are you doing? Winston, come here.
Dog dad.
Dog dad. All right, another one real quick for you, Alan. What's the what has been the toughest fight of your career?
Ooh, toughest fight of my career. I don't know if I've ever had a really good answer for that one. They're all tough. So some of them I made a lot harder than they should have been. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. I never felt like they were tough.
Mm-mm. Okay.
They were all fun.
Yeah.
I don't know, but you know, like, Akiyama. When I fought Akiyama, that was a pretty good little grind. You know. Like, I felt really tired, and I had to grind through that, and I beat his ass for 3 rounds, and then I lost the decision. But that was a pretty tough one. But he never really, like, hit me hard. As far as, like, stress and that – the Okami the second time, I swallowed a lot of blood. I was on my back a lot and swallowed a lot of blood, but I don't know. All right, next question.
Okay. Aside from your pure power – how much has your game evolved since your MMA days?
Oh, Lord. Power is like probably the least thing. I don't know.
Size
and power. I mean, that's kind of like obvious percentage wise or whatever.
Sure.
But I don't know, man. I'm just just a lot more dynamic. I feel like my body is I can control my body so much better now. And it's kind of weird because I should have been at my peak physical prime then.
Right.
But I just put a lot of work in the last 5 years, you know, 5 years of like working on, you know, my body and the athleticism and all that. And recently this last year, like all the mobility and those types of things has really taken a big, you know, big turn, but I'm a lot more mobile than ever before and just more slick. My hands are a lot better, just a lot smarter. I'm a smarter fighter. I developed all kinds of skills, dude. When I wasn't fighting for 8 years, I used to not really be like, I had good takedown defense and like I was strong, so I could like body lock people and suplex them and shit, but I wasn't really that slick or that good at wrestling. Like the 8 years that I was off, like I got good at wrestling. I got like and I was always like not in like fight shape going with heavyweights and stuff, so I developed like a totally different style for like going against those guys. But I never stopped like learning martial arts and working on it. Like I think that's something that I'm gonna do forever.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Couple more for you. What's been your toughest obstacle outside of fighting?
Outside of fighting? Dude, I mean, toughest obstacle outside. I mean, I've owned a lot of different businesses. That's been pretty depressing at times. I mean, I've been
laughing.
Through. I mean, geez, I don't know, man. I mean, life is fucking hard. What the hell? I mean, it's all hard. So, I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Gotta roll with the punches. You gotta roll with them.
That's right.
Dude. This is up your alley, I think. What does your diet look like on an average week?
What does my diet look like? I am pretty much like, damn. You want my whole fucking week? Damn.
Breakfast
for me is, dude, I am like, I used to be so strict with my meals and everything, and like I'm like super about variety. That's the only way I was able to do this for so long, honestly. Like
Okay.
I'm in the best shape of my life, and like you have to like figure out how to not get burned out, you know?
Yeah.
So I eat like fucking almost something different every single day, every single meal, just because. And then I get on like these little kicks or whatever, but like I eat waffle, pancake, oatmeal, cereal. Those are like any one of those would be my breakfast, like my carb. But I eat all that good shit. I don't use sugar-free shit, none of that. I'm super. Hannah has made me very healthy, honestly. She's been a really good example. Hannah Guy's be helping me with my food and stuff, for
There you go.
real. So if you have a cheat meal, what is your go-to like junk food, bad, nasty stuff?
Well, dude, I eat waffles almost every day. I drink chocolate almond milk every day. I like fucking cheat every day, like, but it's good stuff, you know? So
Yeah.
I don't like it, like ice cream or something. That would make me like shit my guts out. Like I can't do like some of the like stuff I did when I was like a fat ass, you know? But burgers are good. Fries, I eat fries a lot. Like I just put them in the air fryer, the waffle fries or whatever. It's just fucking potatoes, no oil or anything, you
Yeah.
know? But yeah, sometimes I like crush some lasagna or something like that, like a bunch of, you know, pasta and just whatever. I can't do sweets a lot. I'll
Oh,
throw
I
up.
love sweets.
Yeah, not like a bunch.
I'm the sweet eater.
I like sweet tarts. That's my
Sweet
candy.
tarts. Yeah, Sour
Yeah.
Patch Kids. All right, this is a good one. This is fun. This is cool too. This is from he was an ex-WWE wrestler. His name is Lars Sullivan. And look him up,
Wow.
Alan. He's a monster. Really good IG. But he goes, if you could redo any fight in your career, which one would it be and why?
Man, if I could, I would have, man, I would opt out of that. I wouldn't do it.
No.
I wouldn't change shit. I really wouldn't.
It
I
wouldn't
don't
rhyme with
fucking care.
Lykke Lipspin.
Michael Bisping, I would just, you know, if I could get a rematch, I would do that for
Okay.
sure. Michael
You know
Bisping
what
with his
cracked me
one
up?
fucking eye.
I was doing my research on you, and one of the weirdest articles came up, and it was just the weirdest article, and it was a picture of Michael Bisping, and it said Michael Bisping hates Alan Belcher and his tattoos, and I was just like, but it was like the weirdest article.
That is silly. Yeah, I don't
But I
know.
remember like seeing that one, and I was just like,
Dude. Yeah, I thought you were gonna sit find a bunch of stuff about tattoos. My Johnny Cash tattoo.
about your what, Johnny Cash?
Johnny Cash tattoo. That should
I
be the
like the
first thing
Johnny
that you
Cash
see.
tattoo. Why'd you get the
Hell
Johnny
yeah.
Cash tattoo? Dude, like real questions, why wouldn't you get a Johnny Cash tattoo? But
Yeah,
there you go. There you go, Taylor.
exactly. That's really it. I just thought it was badass. You know, it's just probably like a lot of your tattoos. I'm like, the guy was like, "Hey, I'll tattoo you. What do you want?" And I was like, "I don't know that." Talking Johnny Cash is badass, and that's kind of how it went. But
I love that.
I was actually thinking when I got the tattoo, I was thinking about being famous, and I was thinking about like, dude, I'm just like a regular white dude. Like I need something fucking, you know, cool. And like if you get a portrait on your body and you're a fighter, it's like back, especially like back then, it was like, okay, you
Yeah.
probably remember that. There wasn't really anyone. There was like two people that I remember that had like portraits, and you remember who the portrait was. So whatever. It
Crazy.
works. It kind of worked. It kind of worked.
It's funny. I have my portrait tattoo and I love it. People are always like, "Who's that? Justin Bieber?"
They don't really ask Justin Bieber, do they?
Someone asked me if it was Justin Bieber.
Oh my goodness. All right, Al, we got a thing. We call it the swarm. We're going to ask you questions, fun, quick questions, quick answer questions. And of course, too, we spent a lot of money on this intro, so it's going to be 8 seconds. Here we go.
You kicking it off?
Uh-oh. Get ready. Here comes The Swarm with Dave Van Auken and Taylor Starling.
$8,000. That was it right there. All right. Yeah, first thing that pops in your head, all right, Alan?
All right, let's go.
Hot or cold coffee?
Hot.
Favorite song?
Favorite song. Shoot. What is my favorite song? I don't have a favorite song. That's the first thing that comes to my head.
Okay. Favorite football team?
Favorite football team, Saints.
Okay.
Something you're afraid of?
Damn, what am I afraid of? I ain't afraid of shit. I'm sorry.
Not even a bug or anything? Like spiders?
Sharks?
A bug? Okay.
Snakes? Spiders?
I think of it. Dude, come on. Come on. Damn, spiders? Man. Yeah, nobody likes spiders.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Okay.
This weekend, you have Francis Ngannou or Ciryl Gane?
I think it's going to be Ciryl Gane. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's more technical.
Yeah.
You know, me too. He doesn't make many mistakes. I think that's a safe way to go here. For sure.
All right.
Both scary dudes though.
Yeah.
One thing that is on your bucket list, something you really want to do before you die.
Fight in Thailand. Muay Thai.
I like
yeah.
That.
Some Lithway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kicks.
That'll work. That'll work.
Who is
I
outside?
Get paid for that.
Yeah.
I'll fight Muay Thai in Thailand for free, but like for Lithway, I gotta get paid.
Outside yourself, who's your favorite fighter in all of combat sports to watch?
People say their self.
Oh, a lot.
Jesus.
A lot.
Okay. Oh, my favorite fighter to watch in all combat sports.
Yeah, if he or she is fighting, if it's bare knuckle, UFC, PFL, if he or she is fighting like on that Saturday night, you got to watch it. Don't matter. You just have to.
Probably Vasily Lomachenko.
Okay.
That's yeah. Yeah. Right. I'm really fascinated with that guy.
I got one more, and it is for you to finish the phrase. The way to my heart is.
Okay. The way to my heart is that's definitely through my belly. I like food.
Like yeah. Waffles.
That yes. Well, any kind of food, really. I'm good with anything as long as it's.
That's a good man answer. That's a manly answer.
Is it really?
They always say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
Yeah, through his stomach. That's what I was gonna say.
Well, I thought that was kind of cliche, but I was like, yeah, that's you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, man.
Alan, we win 52 minutes of pure gold. Can't wait. Bobo O'Bannon. We're around 15, 18 days away. That's on the 29th. Knucklemania 2 is around 2-3 weeks after that. Stack card. Hopefully we can see yourself. Like you said, you want to keep it busy. Boxing match one or two. And then hopefully back on that bare knuckle ring in the spring.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I'm ready. I'm ready. Dude, Feldman. Put me on the next one, bro. Let's go. Hell yeah, you guys. Thanks for having me on. It was fun.
No, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. You're not as intimidating as I thought.
No. Hell no.
He's the best. Alan Belcher. Guys, episode 15, Taylor Starlin, 3-0, Bare Knuckle FC superstar, Dave Van Auken, and then the talent right there, man, guys. Alan Belcher. Guys, make sure you're watching Bare Knuckle FC app. We are out.
Later.
You
love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.